a proud look. Of course, this phrase comes from the text that we're considering, Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verses 16 to 19, where the psalmist said, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, plus six other things that you're going to hear about. So when the Lord says that he hates something, and something is an abomination to him, that must mean it's quite an evil thing in his sight. And a text that comes to my mind that relates possibly to this proud look is found in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, where Paul admonishes us, you remember, that we are to abstain from all appearance of evil. You know, there are some people who have an element of pride in their hearts, and they let us know it by the way they carry themselves, or the way they speak, or ignore us, or look at us and turn away, or any number of ways. And when we speak or give a comment in a discussion, they may ignore our comment, or just be silent. Or they may look away. Or they may even roll their eyes. I can't roll my eyes the way Jim Parkinson can, but they may roll their eyes as if, wow, what in the world did that have to do with what we're talking about? And really, make you feel that what you had to say was very unimportant and irrelevant. And make us feel very insignificant. And we then shrink down into our shoes and stop from making any more contribution to the discussion. Then, of course, they speak their piece, and they speak it in such a very positive manner that it's as if they're almost daring us to differ with them. You see, a proud look doesn't necessarily have to be just a looking down on a person. It can be in what we say or how we say it or how we handle our brethren in many ways. And if any of these mannerisms hit a nerve with you, then maybe we should try to do something about it. We'll have a little more to say on that shortly. However, there may be some people who may appear to have a proud look, but who would be very surprised if we were to tell them that we thought that a proud look applied to them. So we have two lessons already in this short time that we've spoken. One is that we must be careful not to give the appearance of evil. And the second is that we must not prejudge a person to have pride only by judging from the outward appearance. And of course, the prime example that comes to my mind of judging by the outward appearance is the time that Samuel was asked to anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be the next king of Israel because Saul had disobeyed his God. And you remember Samuel thought, oh, this one that looked so tall was so tall and so handsome and so full of authority and probably had a proud look would be the ideal king. You know, I tried to practice in front of a mirror how to have a proud look, and I couldn't do it. You know, for somebody to have a proud look, you got to be 6'12" high and handsome and you know, be like this, what's this, fellow Schnitzelberger or somebody that's got all these muscles, you know. And I've got none of that. And so I just forgot about that. But, you know, I had a problem with a sister once in a class that we met with for a long time. And she was one of those that, to me, had a proud look. And I later found that I was very wrong. As a matter of fact, she was a very shy person and insecure. Her reluctance to come and seek me out or shake hands with me or speak to me was simply a shyness and an inability to carry on a conversation. We became great friends after I found that out. But now we want to go back to the person who really does have pride in their heart and shows it. What do we do to avoid it and thus get away from this evil? I read about a woman called Marian Anderson, a black American contralto, who was described as a beautiful model of humility. She had been acclaimed as a great singer. Arturo Toscanini said a voice like hers comes only once in a century. In 1955, she was the first black woman to sing with the New York Opera Company. In 1958, she became a U.S. delegate to the United Nations. She received medals from various countries around the world. She gave a private performance before President Roosevelt and a very select group at the White House. And at the same time, she was in Washington, D.C. Well, no, it wasn't at the same time. She waited until that night. She gave another concert before 75,000 in front of the Washington Monument. No, it was the Lincoln Memorial. And in that group were representatives and senators and Supreme Court justices. Philadelphia awarded her the Bach Award for being the person who had done the most for her city. And she received the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And that's only a part of the list. And when she was asked what event in her life was the most memorable event that she would always cherish, she answered that none of these were. Miss Anderson quietly told the reporter that the greatest moment of her life was the day that she went home to her mother and told her mother, "Mama, you won't have to take in the wash anymore." Now you have to realize what she was doing here. She was telling the whole world through this reporter of her humble origins that her mother had to take in the wash to provide the things that were needful for her and the rest of her family. You know, some folks, when they achieve fame and fortune, go to great lengths to hide their humble origins. We often think that we should mask the truth of our past lest some people think less of us. But Miss Anderson didn't do that. She remembered that she had been nothing until some kind person had taken her in hand to help her and train her for her career in music. And this has to be the attitude that we must have. We, whom God has taken by the hand to train us and prepare us for our, well, I guess we can call it our career in the next age. What were we? We were nothing. God took hold of us. We were just a lump of clay. And Paul in Romans, the 9th chapter, verses 20 and 21, tells us that in so many words. And he said that God who took us, who were nothing, and is going to make of us a vessel unto honor. In the 103rd Psalm, we're reminded by God through David that God remembers that we are but dust. And how thankful we are that he remembers that we are but dust, because he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our iniquities from us and our sins. God remembers that we're but dust, just a lump of clay, and so should we. In fact, I'd like to say that we must remember that we were nothing but a lump of clay. In another place, 1 Corinthians 4:7, we're reminded by Paul again, "What hast thou that thou didst not receive?" Even life itself is a gift of God, let alone any talents or beauty or ability that we may have or anything else. And if we can remember the story of the famous singer who was not ashamed to tell the world through the report about her mother taking in the wash, perhaps that'll remind us of our own nothingness. And we can avoid giving the appearance of a proud look. Now, if we forget, the Lord can arrange to remind us about our humble origins. Remember the Apostle Paul and what he said about a thorn in the flesh that he had received from God? Why did Paul indicate that this was given to him? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we have the answer. He talks about this terrible thorn that he had to carry around, and he said it was given to him for a specific reason. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. God was reminding Paul through this thorn in the flesh of his own humble origins and what he had done and how God had lifted him up and made something out of him and was making a vessel unto honor unto him. And the Weymouth I like, especially in that regard, says, therefore, lest I should be over elated, there has been sent to me like the agony of impalement, Satan's angel dealing blow after blow, lest I should be over elated. We are all weak in the flesh, dear brethren. Let's admit it. Let's not forget it. It is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And Paul tells us that in Philippians 2:13. So, just to summarize our little lesson, brief lesson, we have three points that we're trying to make. One, we should avoid giving the appearance of evil. While secondly, we must avoid prejudging, however, on just appearance alone. And third, we must remember our own humble origins, and this should help us to avoid the proud look. May God add his blessing.